Welcome to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Abbotville Church of Christ. Your speaker is E.R. Hall, Jr.
Hello, and welcome to you and our radio audience. We appreciate you tuning in, and we hope that you'll listen for the duration of the program as we attempt to speak only those things from God's holy and inspired Word. If at any time you have a question about something that's said on this program, or if you have a Bible question or a Bible subject you'd like for us to deal with on the program, please feel free to contact us at the information given by the announcer, or you can contact me directly by email. My address is preacher@eastabbotville.org. Many are using choirs and solos in their attempts to worship God. And the question we want to ask and try to answer according to God's Word on the program this morning is, are choirs and solos authorized by God as a part of our worship today? You know, to find the answer to this question, we have to turn to the Bible. The Bible is God's Word. 2 Timothy 3, verse 16 and 17, all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God, and it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, completely, and thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Jesus said in John 12 and verse 48, that the words that I have spoken, the same shall judge you in the last day. So see, man does not have the right to add to or even to take away from the teachings of God's Word. We are told in Revelation 22, verses 18 and 19, that if we add to the things that God has said, the plagues will be added unto us. If we take away from God's Word, our names will be taken out of the Lamb's Book of Life. The New Testament is the portion of God's Word that is the standard of authority for what we do in work and worship of God today. It's in Colossians chapter 2 that we read in verse 14, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. See, the law of Moses was that which Christ came and fulfilled. And in so fulfilling, when he died upon the cross, he nailed the law to the cross. And now with his death, we have the new will, the new testament that you and I live under today. And so it is in God's Word. God has authorized five acts of worship for us to do. These five acts are singing. In Ephesians chapter 5, we read in verse 19, that speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord. Another passage we could read would also be Colossians 3 and verse 16. We are upon the first day of the week to give. In 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2, we're to lay by in store as we have been prospered upon the first day of the week. We find that we're to pray in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 17 as well, as in Acts chapter 2 and verse 42, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayer. Upon the first day of the week, they ate of the Lord's Supper. Paul spoke of this in 1 Corinthians 11 when he tried to correct the things that the church at Corinth were doing that was improper in connection with the Lord's Supper. Then we read about the church in Troas in Acts 20 and verse 7, that came together upon the first day of the week to break bread, to observe the Lord's Supper. And, of course, there is to be the preaching of the Word. In Acts 2 and verse 42, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. There in Acts 20 and verse 7, when Paul assembled with the church at Troas and they observed the Lord's Supper, then Paul preached unto them. So these acts of worship are authorized either by direct commands or by the approved apostolic examples that we read about in the New Testament. And so singing in worship is commanded by God. The New Testament contains many examples of Christians singing in worship to God. In Acts 16, we find in verse 25, Paul and Silas, when they were imprisoned in Philippi, they sang. We find in Romans chapter 15, the statement is made there in, let's see, Romans chapter 15, notice with me in verse 9. He says, "And that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, 'For this reason I will confess you among the Gentiles and will sing to your name.'" In 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 15, we're to sing with the spirit and with the understanding. The passage we read a moment ago in Ephesians 5, verses 18 and 19. Then in Hebrews 2 and verse 12, James 5, verse 13, just all sorts of verses that we could use that shows that examples of Christians in the New Testament being commanded and in themselves singing in worship unto God. So all of these passages describe the kind of music that God has authorized so that his people can worship him in spirit and in truth as we're commanded to do in John 4 and verse 24. Jesus said, "God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." So the kind of music that God authorized clearly in all of these verses that we find is singing. This singing is a congregational singing. Ephesians 5:19, speaking to one another. So it's something that every Christian is to participate in. And so we find, too, that it is done by every Christian in the assembly, and it must be done with understanding. So the purpose of singing is for Christians to glorify God as well as to teach and to admonish, encourage one another. Does the New Testament teach congregational singing? Well, when we look at, again, Ephesians chapter 5, notice again what it says in verse 19. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. So, the word in the original Greek language in which the New Testament was written, which is translated as speaking in Ephesians 5:19, means to utter speech, to convey speech, to use the tongue or faculty of speech, to utter articulate words, to talk, to tell, to use words to declare yourselves in mind and thought. So the New Testament word translated yourselves in Ephesians 5:19 shows that the person who acts and the person who receives the action is the same. In other words, while one is speaking to others in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, others are also speaking to him in the same way. So this is a very clear reference to the fact that what we're talking about here and what we're seeing in Ephesians 5:19 is congregational singing, where all mutually teach one another as they unite their voices in song. So to obey this command, there must be an interchange of action. When one group or person is active, a choir or a soloist, and the other group is passive, that is, they are the listening audience, then there's no interchange of action. See, Ephesians 5:19 cannot be obeyed by choirs or by people singing solo. But then there's another passage that we need to include in our study, and that is Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16. And ask ourselves the question, does Colossians 3 and verse 16 teach congregational singing. All right, let's read from it. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. That New Testament word that's translated teaching means to teach, to instruct, by word of mouth. So it requires that the one who is taught understand the teaching that's given. And that New Testament word translated admonishing in Colossians 3:16, it means to put into the mind, to instruct, to warn. So, this teaching and admonishing is to be done, as the verse says, to one another. The phrase one another is translated from the same word as yourselves that we studied just a moment ago in Ephesians 5:19. Therefore, when the church is worshiping God by the act of singing, there is teaching and admonishing one another taking place. Colossians 3:16 clearly teaches congregational singing. When one group or individual, call it the choir or call it the soloist, is active, and another group is passive, that is, they are the listening audience, again, there is no interchange of teaching and admonishing. Congregational singing, that is, what I mean by that term, is singing by every member of the congregation, was the practice of the church in the first century. But there are many today that claim that choirs and solos in the worship are permitted because the Bible is silent concerning them. In other words, they say, well, the Bible doesn't say not to use a choir, or the Bible doesn't say not to have a soloist. Well, when God commanded Christians to sing and admonish one another, that eliminated choirs and solos in worship. It wasn't necessary for God to give a long list of thou shalt nots concerning singing. It was not necessary for God to say, thou shalt not use mechanical instruments of music in my worship. It was not necessary for God to say, thou shalt not use choirs or solos in my worship. When God specified congregational singing, that eliminated choirs, it eliminated solos, and it eliminated instrumental music. Choirs, solos, and mechanical instruments of music in New Testament worship were never commanded by the Lord. No apostle of Christ ever approved of choirs, solos, or instrumental music in worship unto God. No inspired New Testament writer ever taught or approved of them. So there's no command, there's no approved example of the use of choirs, solos, or mechanical instruments of music in New Testament worship. So they are completely without the authority of the Lord. And again, to use them is sinful in our worship. We find that in 2 John 9, whoever transgresses and abides not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. And we mentioned a moment ago, Revelations 22, verses 18 and 19, concerning the matter of adding to God's word and taking from it. So then, many seem to think that worship must be entertaining. Every Christian needs to realize that God has commanded him to worship in spirit and in truth, and this means that every Christian must worship with the correct attitude and the correct actions. God is the one who is being worshiped. He is in the audience, and therefore he is the one to whom that we must please. Friends, we see your time is gone. We appreciate so much your listening. We hope that you'll tune in tomorrow. And it's until then that we bid you a pleasant good day. And now we turn you to our announcer.
Thank you for listening to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Albertville Church of Christ, which meets at 4777 U.S. Highway 431 in Albertville, Alabama. This broadcast airs locally on WBSA 1300 AM and Gospel 93.5 FM. Broadcast times are Monday through Saturday at 11:15 AM and Sunday at 8:30 AM. We invite you to worship with us anytime. We meet on Sundays at 9:30 AM for a Bible study, which is followed by a worship service at 10:30. We meet again for another worship service at 5 o'clock p.m. On Wednesdays, we meet for a Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m., which is followed by a short worship service. Please visit our website at eastabbottville.org, where you will be able to listen to all of our services live. You will also have access to our vast audio library of sermons, debates, and every episode of this program. You will also find many articles on various Bible topics. There is a link to submit any Bible question you may have, and while you are there, please subscribe to our bi-monthly email bulletin. Join us again tomorrow for What the Bible Says.